Well, this morning, it's part two of a, I think, five-sermon series. Don't hold me to that. Please don't hold me to that. It may go on a little further than that. We'll see. But we are looking at the church, and we've got three words beginning with the letter B by which we can do it. That's the lens that we are using. So we began last week with body. And that's why we read 1 Corinthians 12. There's a lot there telling us about the body, the church, Christ the head. Today, we'll finish that. But then beyond it, I think this must be next week, Lord's Day morning, the branch. See, it begins with B, we're the branches. There is the vine that we are part of. That's Christ again, isn't it? And finally, and I think this will be a two-sermon treatment, but we look at the bride of Christ. It's of Christ, isn't it? It's always his name in there, isn't it? It's always his name that is linked up with everything. If we're looking for an identity, well, here we have it. We're the body of Christ. We're the branches linked to Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And that's where we build out from, isn't it? That understanding of what we are is where we build out from that. Well, the body, indeed all the other terms, we could have added to those terms, some beginning with the letter B, would you believe? I could have added more in on that. But other words equally that we could use about the local church. Yes, that's it, isn't it? The local church. Though we smile, don't we, these days, people often have to travel to find a church where they can settle, and it's not quite local, which stretches the term local, but necessity, that requires it. And that's where we find ourselves. I know a number of us who gather here, that we've had to travel to be here, and to be before the Lord in this place, gathered here in one place. And so we consider a little bit further what it means for us to be the body. Last week, we were in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verses 15 and 16. Let me just read those verses again. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him. That is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth, the body, for the edifying of itself in love. Well, there's a lot in that, isn't there? And a lot of description about a body, and well, the friends here know far more about the body and how it works than I do, but there are the joints and the effective working, each part doing its share, causing growth in the body. And we saw that Christ is the head, and just as the body is nowhere without a head, that's where all the clever things happen that organize. And give us purpose. That's where the consciousness is. And all these things that scientists there are hard-pressed to really understand. What mysterious creatures that we are, made in the image of God. What depths there are to what we are that we can barely understand. We marvel, fearfully and wonderfully made. But we recognize the head is doing a lot of very clever stuff. And it's doing it as you sit there. Hopefully it's doing some of it as I stand here. I'll leave you to judge that afterwards. Tell me gently. But anyway, that there it is, the knowledge and the imagination and all that working there. That's the head. And of course, there's Christ is the living head. We're going to sing at the end of the meeting, live in him, living head, isn't it? I think we are anyway. So it's a strong, strong picture that is given to us there. So let's think a little further. We had as our first heading last week, Christ the head, us the body. We're just going to continue a little bit more with that now. Because that growth, which is described, we all play a part in it with each other. That the appointment, and that's in 1 Corinthians 12, isn't it there? That was there, that God is arranging this. As he actually pleases. This is his design and his handiwork. And there are different people, aren't there? And we come with different backgrounds and experiences. We've seen different things on our pilgrimage. We've learned lessons and particular things that we then share out of that knowledge, out of that experience we share. Different gifts, different talents there. Some of us, they're practical people and get on with these things and lifting baptistry covers and things like that. He puts the appeal out there. But anyway, we can do things. We can do a bit of heavy lifting and practical stuff. It's good, needed. Others, well, they do the speaking, whatever else there. And here I find myself, don't I? And can believe that God's given me that place and that calling, at least for the season that it is. And others similarly, who exercise a function within the church. And Paul is at pains here, isn't he, to say, yeah, everybody is actually needed. It's Christ's design here. Isn't it wonderful that there's the body, there's a oneness to the body, but at the same time, there are lots of different members of that body. And that's because that's what Christ has made it to be. We're all in him, but they're derived out of that. The people that we are and what we were before we were converted and what we become since we were converted, it's all designed to sort of fit together. Parts supplying what's needed here and parts doing their work, eyes and ears and noses to do the smelling. But as Paul says, the fact is this, none should feel discouraged that they're not an ear or an eye. And feeling as if, well, I don't really belong, do I, here? And Paul is saying, well, no, if everybody was an eye, well, where would the hearing be? If everybody was an ear, where would the smelling be? It needs all the different parts for the whole of this. We're talking about a local church, but you can sort of take that on to a church in its broadest and best sense. But everybody needs to recognize they got a part there. And of course, the other way round as well, those that think that they are something, well, whoever those people might be there, I need to look at myself in the mirror of that as the preacher this morning. But anyway, this idea, I'm the eye here. I'm the ears around this place, you know. I suppose I should tell it against myself and say, I'm the hand in this body, you see. There you are. And getting proud. Getting a bit sort of above. No. Paul is saying not that, because he adds on, doesn't it? Therefore, I have no need of you. I have no need of you. Well, Paul says, well, that won't work too well either. So we can't just feel discouraged that we're not one thing or proud that we are one thing, perhaps. And sometimes we can completely misread what we are and who we are in the eyes of God. So there is to be this togetherness that we have in 1 Corinthians 12, which we have in Ephesians chapter 4, which we also have actually in Colossians. Just to take here, the context in which it comes up is slightly different. But in chapter 2, verse 19, having contrasted with the various, well, call them heretics in the church who were there, the Colossian heresy, we call it, this sort of rather super spiritual idea and of angels and intermediaries, and it's all pretty weird and up there somewhere. And Paul is saying, no, not up there somewhere, sort of out of view, and you need a specialist to be able to sort of access heaven for you and get you into touch with God. No, you are already, you have it, you have fullness in Christ. And he says that these people are not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Though it's by way of a contrast that there's something going wrong, and he is saying they're not doing what they should be doing. They're not holding fast to the head. And having mentioned the head, he then takes us into the territory of Ephesians 4, verses 15 to 16. There are the joints and the ligaments. There's this body sort of knit together and nourishing, doing something each to every one. And great within all of this is love, pure and simple. I mean, okay, I could have read on, couldn't I? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we could have taken it on the most excellent way. Well, you and I know, if we know our Bibles a bit, it's 1 Corinthians 13 and that great, great lesson about love. That all of these kinds of, well, I have no need of you sort of stuff, or people feeling belittled because they're not an eye or an ear or a hand or something like that, that Paul is saying, no, you missed entirely what this is about. That all of that, all that is done, should be done in love. It should be an attitude, something of warmth that is coming through, that it is done in love. That's the medium for growth. But it's also the end of it. So what is done leads actually to love. It produces more of the same. So that preaching, what is preaching to accomplish? That's a good question. I ask myself that more often. What is it to accomplish? Well, in a sense, it is to accomplish something of this, that we work together in love. That out of love, we speak, I trust, and it builds love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 type of life. So that whatever we're doing in those days there, and we won't dwell on this morning, but in the days of supernatural revelations and words of wisdom, words of knowledge and prophecy in terms of that direct revelation from heaven, I would say those times have ceased now. And those who try to resurrect it and say it's tongue speaking, I think leave the church there confused and leave it in grievous mistakes. But what it is saying is that there is these distinctive offices and distinctive workings that are there and which need to be exercised, each of them, in love. And the tongue speakers are going to get a sound scolding, actually, in 1 Corinthians 14. And others who feel that they have something to say, again, they're going to get a sound scolding, that they're not acting in love. That all that is happening, the teaching, the whatever else, the building up of the body, the equipping of saints for ministry, that's it, isn't it? It's not just so that, well, we're something on a Sunday morning. Yeah, but what are we the next day? What are we in our places of work? Are we bringing that love there? And then when we come together, when we work together, when we do things together, is there love that is being seen there? And so where does this come from? It comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. The body, its individual parts and how we're working, we don't all do the same thing, we know that, but we're going to resemble him more and more. Because love, well, God is love. And we know, we'll define that carefully there, that it's not some kind of just unconditional, just love. No, it's a love for sinners. And that's what makes that love actually remarkable. So God is love, and his Spirit works within his people. The Spirit, Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, is not doing something a bit different here, something a bit strange, in fact, here. No, he's doing the work that is making us into Christ's likeness. That's what he, in a way, there, as the third member of the Trinity, tasked with making Christ's likeness in us. And what would that be like? Would that be people who love? 1 Corinthians 13 kind of people. Christ, the head, us, the body. Now, he did quote, and I just finished this section here, some of the systematic theologians. We had Raymond, we had Burkhoff last week. Let's have another of them from the United States of the 19th century, and Dabney and his systematic theology, the church. This is what he has to say. He says, "Let us remember then that the true church of Christ is invisible," by which he means he can't always tell exactly who's who. "And it consists of the whole body of the effectually called. The same name is given by accommodation in the scriptures to a visible body." That's what we are this morning, friends. "Consisting of all those throughout the world who make a credible profession of the true religion. That the essential properties of unity, holiness, indefectibility," in other words, that we don't fall away, "catholicity, togetherness, belong to the invisible and not the visible church." There's a lot in that. And that's why we're talking, isn't it, here, that there's got to be a reality. Got to be a reality to the people that we are. That credible profession of the true religion. What will it look like? Will there be holiness and there'll be unity? Will we building, as it were, for the same things together? Will we determine we're not going to fall away? Will we reach out to others? And that is the genuine church. Sometimes you can't quite recognize this person real, not real, and you think half this and half that and half the other. And so it's urging us, isn't it, there, to be very clearly identified, joined to him, the living head. One of the key things to see in that is that we are growing in love. Now my second heading, out on a limb. Because the title actually is Some Bodies, Not Nobodies. That we belong to a body of people, a local church. Yes, we belong to the universal church, the true church of all God's elect, across the face of the earth, lots of them, and we belong there with them. We're never going to meet most of them in this lifetime. We'll meet them in glory. Sure, we will. But, yep, we're not going to meet a fraction of them. But we're also a local church. I have to say this carefully because I know so many of us have to come distance. And I know so many of us would actually like to be more explicitly, day by day, joined with what happens here through the week and in various works. You live quite a way away. I know friends who may be listening to this who are having to move across America to find a church where they can feel that they belong and that they can be joined to. Because we don't want to be out on a limb. We don't want to be nobodies. That we don't belong to a body. We're just sort of nowhere quiet. If our heart is for that, okay, and distance and difficulty and duties and various things, health sometimes prevents us doing all, being all that we would like to be. But that's the ideal, isn't it? That we belong somewhere, to some body, that we're not no body. Or divided up, that we're a bit here and a bit there and a bit everywhere else, that we give our time, our attention primarily to that body. Well, we've got Christian friends in all places there, different churches across the world, here in this country, locally to us. And we love that fellowship. We love that friendship. And we support each other and encourage each other in that work. But we're still a local church. And so much of my time sort of taken up trying to see, we've got enough people for the Sunday school. Have we got enough people to help at Seekers Club? Have we got enough people to be able to do this and to run that? And who's going to be able to open up for the builders or the electrician and everybody else there? Yeah, that's part of the life, isn't it, of the local church. And even if, well, we might say, live at distance. And the fact is that some of us do. We've just grown older. We can't get about in the car as we used to do. It's just beyond us now. We can't drive at all. But nevertheless, our heart is there. And that our prayers are there. Oh, it did us good, you know, friends, yesterday morning at our prayer meeting. Again, I appreciate some of you couldn't get there and at hospitals and different places and things that were happening. I'm sure in spirit you'd have much rather been here than visiting hospitals and all the rest of it there. But it was good that friends gathered. Well, as to say, you know, we toil away on a Tuesday night at prayer meeting, toil away, four, five or six of us perhaps when the tide comes in. And we've toiled away there through thick and thin, really, through COVID. And smile here and a few people will smile back at me. We remember 3 years ago, January, freezing cold, gathered in here for the prayer meeting. The doors are open, the windows are open to keep viruses blowing away. And the rest of it there, wrapped up in our coats and everything else, and praying for the church. We're in the middle of building work there, and people that were dear to us who had passed away, some of them very, very recently, and others certainly in the last sort of 6 months or so. And at times wondering, well, has the church got a future and a hope? And we keep praying for that, and lo and behold, and there we are. We seem to have a future and a hope. Some of us able to meet together on the Saturday, and as Alan in the notices said, we've had a view about this a while, actually, to have more of these Saturday morning prayer meetings that other people maybe can't make it Tuesday night can come and join and pray. That's what happened yesterday. That's so good. So good to have other friends here and praying alongside us and sharing the burden of that. And I guess at times the handful of us have felt like it was for Moses praying while Joshua's in the battle and his arms are up and, Amalek loses then and getting a little tired. And you've been the Aarons and the Hurs who have come to sort of supported us in that. Because that's it, isn't it? We belong. There's something about it. We belong. We may live a long way away, but we'd say we belong. And this work here, even though it's not our own postcode and the clue of the people are and the schools and everything here, we care. We care. We care that at Christmas, hardly saw anybody come, did we? We care that years of toil, so little fruit, so little evidence of God at work. And we care about that and we pray about that. So we want to be not nobodies. In other words, we're not attached anywhere, but somebodies attached to a body, whether it's here or some other body that the Lord may, maybe in the fullness of time, might lead us to be at. We need, really, in many senses there, and I've supplied plenty of good reasons why sometimes folk can't come into church membership or can't quite commit to that. It's perhaps a little bit beyond what, because of distance or whatever else, that they can actually bring. But we basically need a good reason not to be joined to a local church. We need a good reason. I know friends there, very tender conscience, hate the fact that they've had to leave a church or they've had to move away from a situation which was going downhill. And it's pained them. And I know from my own experience, it pained me and my wife when we had to do such a thing. How many years ago now? Probably have to make up a number on the spot here, but say 30 plus years ago now, I think it would be. But it was painful. And it's still painful. I know friends here, it's very painful. In the more recent memory than the 20 plus 30 years that I've just mentioned there. And so, yeah, it can be very hard having to think, well, do we join somewhere else? What might happen there? Well, a few thoughts. Because one church fails doesn't mean every church fails. And I'm sure some of you are well seasoned and know that well enough. Because one church fails, it doesn't mean all churches fail. Because one pastor fails, it doesn't mean that all pastors are going to fail. I hope my own experience of men in the ministry suggests that there's some very good men out there and in whom I have every confidence. Sometimes, well, as I say, don't take this too much to heart, but it can be a feature of people over the years who might come and, we don't quite have the same view on some particular thing. And if I was to say and start an internet war off here, but often it's Israel and the place of Israel in the church. I think if I got paid according to the number of people who've got upset because we don't have their particular view on Israel, I would probably be a wealthier man here this morning. And that's not to say that we, anti-Semitic or something, that's often most accused, because we don't quite share in this view of what ethnic Israel and the things happening there are necessarily fulfillments of prophecy. We're more careful with Romans chapter 11 people I would offer in that respect. But sometimes people can think you just don't understand. This poor pastor or these people just don't understand this. You don't see the importance of this. Well, I think we see the importance of quite a lot of it, actually. Thank you. But we don't quite share your view as to how that comes out of Scripture. And that has been sometimes the thing there. Sometimes lack of proportion. That a single issue has become sort of so much the issue. I mentioned Israel, maybe I'll mention it again there. That's a kind of deal breaker. That's it. We have had people who have done precisely that. Or because we are reformed. Well, that sets some people off, and friends near to me here will say how when the church that they were began to change, and different teaching and the sovereignty of God in salvation deep things like election and predestination, they've been out the door like that. And yet you say, well, I'm struggling not to find those things in the scripture. I can't read Ephesians. I can't read John. In fact, I can't read any of it without finding those deep, deep things that are there. Please don't rush out the door. Please stay and listen further to these things. So sometimes we can be a little lacking proportion. I have to say it. The internet sometimes can do great harm, particular people you never meet. So you never quite know what they're like. They can sound fantastic on the internet, and wise, and have it all together there. But there's actually a hinterland of bad behavior, even morality. And you just don't hear that. It doesn't come across. They're not going to say, oh, by the way, I'm an adulterer. Or, by the way, I'm very covetous and love the money. I've got about 10 houses over here in America and planes whizzing me around. They don't tell you that necessarily. And you think, well, that's good what they're saying here. Some of it may be. But they can be very damaging, listening to internet ministries. Some are very excellent, I'll say that quickly, but some are not so. So my final heading, a growing body. Growing body, that's what it should be, shouldn't it? Because we're saying we're in Christ. It's life, it's God, it's love, and so that's happening, isn't it? And so we just have to pause and ask ourselves that. We paused yesterday, if you were there at the prayer meeting, get to say how encouraging that was. But we paused then and just to ask ourselves, who are we? What are we becoming? Are we showing Christ-likeness? Is that evidence there? We had Second Corinthians chapter 3 in the first three verses about being epistles of Christ, letters of Christ, written not by human hand, not by ink, but by the Spirit, read of all. And we ask ourselves, well, is that what people see? Something about us that reminds them about the Lord Jesus, what he did, what he taught, how he lived. And so we ask ourselves that. It's like if parents there, we're always concerned, aren't we, for our children when they're sort of babies and growing up and they're not growing up right. Something's not happening here. They haven't developed their speech, or they're not walking yet, or these things, don't they? Many of us been there and worries. We go to a specialist because we're worried. This isn't normal. What's happening? And sure, sometimes there is something serious and we have to hear that and we have to respond to that. And so as Christians, that if we're not growing, just like with a child that's not growing, not growing taller, not changing as you would expect a child to change as he or she develops, then we would need to ask a specialist. And of course, the specialist is the head, that's Christ, to ask him, what's happening? What's happening with me? And to unburden ourselves and to cry out to him in that, so that we might instead then grow. Because, you know, it's everybody's loss if we're not growing, if we're still the same, which in effect is saying, basically, we're going backwards. Something isn't happening if we are not growing. Something actually is, we're actually going backwards in a way, that we could be surrounded by books and preaching and all kinds of things. And yet we haven't changed. Some friends have greatly exercised about that in their own life. I'm exercised about it in my life. And I hope each of us are in that way. Because to grow is actually then to bring more to the life of the local church, more to the body, the tone in those ligaments and the muscles and the kind of extra sort of stamina, that the nourishing that can be brought into the body grows as we grow. It goes backwards if we go backwards. And so we are always just looking at ourselves in that regard. And it is, isn't it? It's sanctification. And holiness and love are signs of sanctification. That we're losing ourselves, that we're not so much kind of in the way, that living out ourselves and our own problems, or not to minimize those, but living out of those issues and just always caught up there, or something unresolved in the heart, maybe an unconfessed sin, something rattling around there, and we never get beyond it. We don't grow, and that is ever sad. So we're looking to lose ourselves. All the things like envy and arrogance and conceit and all of the horrible things there. We could have actually developed a little bit more faithful and Christian conversation, because that's faithful also says, actually, I had pride and arrogance and self-conceit. We're also sort of working upon me, trying to pull me away from my walk with the Lord. That's ever the way, isn't it, with us friends? We want God at the center. And then, in smaller print, but after, other people, actually, members of the body, the people that we're serving as we serve the Lord, people out there that we're serving with their ears to hear it, as we bring the gospel to them. Not feelings at the center. Oh dear, that's a big subject, isn't it, as well? We've got 1 Corinthians 12 we started with there, and it's prick up about apostles and prophets and tongues and things. Well, as I say, we're not with that. And feelings, which must be so much, which the church today runs upon. Feelings. Well, there are good feelings, and they're not so good feelings. There can be feelings from any number of sources and places and reasons, and we have to actually be very careful. And we owe it to God, the better to understand the people that we are, our weaknesses, our susceptibilities, the better then to interpret our feelings. Sometimes feelings can be very reliable indicators. And how often people would say, I just felt something wrong there. I couldn't put my finger on it. I felt there was something wrong there. And they were right. And there was. And so, okay, their feelings can often be the fact that our mind is at work and we're evaluating somewhere in our soul. And the better that we get into and understand our own susceptibilities, the more we'll understand what the Holy Spirit is doing, rather than just a response from ourselves or just our disposition and so on. What a huge, huge subject. But we have to be desiring the better to understand what it is that God is changing us into, what he wants us to be, what holiness, what love will look like here, and to contribute that to the body of Christ. So it edifies itself well in love, it says, doesn't it? Causing growth. Ah, that's the same. That growth is evidenced in 1 Corinthians 13 language, that it is love. There will be a maturing church, a loving church, a self-controlled church, understanding ourselves, getting to understand each other, and appreciating that. Different friends, aren't we just? We're all different. And that is what God designed the body to be like. So there we have the body. Some bodies, not no bodies. Ideally, isn't it? Belonging somewhere to some local church with all the caveats about distance and health and other duties and work situations and et cetera, et cetera. And I probably haven't mentioned anything like enough of the caveats there. So don't please go away feeling heavy and condemned. But there it is, isn't it? That's the ideal. That's what I know all like-minded with bright thinking Christians will say, yes, it doesn't always work out the ideal, but that's what we want. And I commend that to you. That here's that B, the first B. We've had two sermons on it. We move on next week to look at ourselves at the branches. But being the body of Christ, I commend those reflections to your further consideration.